I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's easy to forget just how confusing the resurrection must have been for Mary and the disciples. And if the event in itself wasn't the most significant event that has ever happened on planet Earth, as the veil that separates the temporal world and the spiritual world is thin, that it's transparent and, you know, permeable, if it wasn't so significant, you'd look on the gospel story and you'd think it's a West End farce. You've got people running backwards and forwards, seeing things, not seeing things. You've got doors slamming. You've got bodies going missing. You've got angels popping up. It's all happening. And yet we sort of read it and it's scripture, so we're really serious. But if you took it out of context, you'd think this was a West End musical or something. It is just so, so confusing. And we look back on it and we know the story, so it's not. But for them, you know, you got all these people moving about and seeing things and not seeing things, and it's madness. It's madness. It's mayhem. Through it all, we have the resurrection story that we know. We have Mary, and in John's version of the gospel, in John's version of the story, the other women don't seem to be with her, and it's not clear why Mary is going to the tomb. The other gospels tell us that they were carrying spices and oil for anointing the body of Jesus, and that's probably where Mary was going, and that's probably what she was doing. That's probably why she's going to the tomb in the dark, just as some of us this morning came in the dark for the early morning service. You missed your bacon sandwiches, but they are worth getting up for. So is the sunrise service. But Mary goes to the tomb first thing in the morning, while it's still dark. And as she's going there, as she's getting there, she can see that the stone that covers the tomb entrance has moved. And we don't quite know what it looked like, but it probably was something like, you know, like a very large millstone, you know, sort of maybe 6 feet in diameter, maybe a bit thinner, maybe in a little sort of groove thing on the ground that it sort of rolled backwards and forwards in. Maybe it was like that. But it was big, and she could see from afar that something was wrong. It wasn't there. The tombstone had been moved. For Mary and the disciples, they'd just gone through the most traumatic 3 days of their lives, as they've seen Jesus crucified and they've been without him. And now this, she can't believe it. So she runs back to Simon Peter and to John to tell them something's going on, and they run back to the tomb. And you know, look inside. And there's a brilliant bit in John. It says, you know, they looked and they saw. And they said, and it says, and they believed. And then it says, but they didn't know he had to rise from the dead. So it's not that they believed that Christ had risen. What it really means is, they saw and they believed, brackets, her, brackets. And then what do? They go home. Men. What would you expect? They go home. And then Mary stays at the tomb, weeping. And she goes in. She sees the angels, who the men seem to have missed, or perhaps they weren't there. She goes in, sees the angels, and they say, you know, why are you crying? She says, I'm looking for Jesus. And then she turns round. And she sees somebody that she assumes is the gardener. And then Jesus speaks to her. And she suddenly recognizes who Jesus is. And everything changes. Her life is never going to be the same again. And he just says, don't cling on to me, but just go back to the others and tell them that I'm going back to the Father. Tell them everything that I said would happen has happened. Tell them that Christ has been vindicated, that God is Father I am his son, and I have overcome death so that you can have everlasting life. You can be part of the new creation, the new world order that has just been inaugurated. Go and tell them that. And the joy that comes upon Mary is visible from the gospel reading. And she runs back to the disciples. And you can imagine, she doesn't even need to get to them. You know, there's like this ready breath glow around her as she runs towards them. And she says, I have seen the Lord. And the rest is history. And yet in that little cameo of the gospel reading, we have all of the aspects, all of the perceptions, all of the ways that people see the gospel and respond to it. It's just all there in those few verses. Because to begin with, there's lots and lots of seeing going on. You know, Mary goes to the tomb and sees that the tomb, that the stone's been rolled away. The disciples look in and see that the grave cloths are there and there's no body. And at the beginning of that passage, the words that are used for see is see as a spectator, see as an observer, see as somebody looking in on what's happening. It's like the boat race yesterday. You know, lots of us maybe watched the boat race and watched Cambridge win. Some of us will be happy, some of us will be sad. Some of us couldn't really care less who won or lost. But it was a good race. But, you know, we all sit there and we've got Jenny's mum stopping with us. You know, she's watching the boat race and she is urging Cambridge on to win. She's telling them what to do. I'm not sure whether she's ever rowed or not, not to my knowledge. But she's telling them what to do and, you know, it's because of her coaching, of course, that they won. But it's a bit like that, isn't it, with the gospel sometimes. You know, lots of people will look at it. They'll comment on it. You know, they'll tell you what, you know, the winning eight did right. They'll tell you what the losing eight did wrong yesterday. They'll tell you what's wrong with the gospel. They'll tell you all the faults. You know, how the Bible doesn't quite stack up. But they're doing it from an external perspective. And for us as Christians, sometimes even, you know, we look at situations and rather than get stuck in and rather than perhaps do the things that Christ would have done, we take a little step back and we become observers and we hope maybe somebody else will do something. We see people in our lives who are observers of the gospel, observers of Christ, but largely untouched by it. You know, I don't bother God and I don't want God bothering me, thank you very much. And yet Christ wants us to be more than observers and spectators. The other thing we see is that Mary makes an assumption about who Jesus is. She assumes he's the gardener. She doesn't recognize him for who he was. And, you know, we think, well, that's silly. She must have done. Maybe she had tears in her eyes. But if you cast your minds back, all through the Gospels, none of the disciples really recognized Jesus for who he was. And he was telling them. He was demonstrating it. And they still didn't quite recognize who he was. They made assumptions about who he was. And again, we all know people who make assumptions about who Jesus is. He's a prophet, you know, well, he was a good man, he was perhaps a historical character. Yeah, maybe he was a son of God, but I don't think, see, that makes any difference. And we too, sometimes, even as Christians, make assumptions about who Jesus is and what he might do and how he might want to intervene in our lives and how cross we get when he doesn't intervene in the way that we want. How cross we get when we can't seem to manipulate him or can't get him to do what we want to do. You know, we don't recognize who Jesus is some of the time, just as the disciples found it difficult to recognize who he was some of the time. We have people just standing as observers. We have people making assumptions about who Jesus is and not being able to recognize him. And then at the end, when Jesus calls to Mary, as he calls to each one of us, she turns and sees him for who he is. And that power and that tingling electricity, which is Christ crucified and Christ resurrected, flows from him to her as it flows to each one of us as we celebrate the resurrection. And she tears back to the disciples and she says, I've seen the Lord. And this is no longer, I have seen the Lord as a spectator. Oh, by the way, chaps, I think he's come back. This is, I have experienced the risen Christ in my life. I have seen, I have witnessed, I testify that the risen Christ is here. And no longer were Jesus and the disciples, people who are now following Christ and watching him do the miracles, watching him do the teaching, watching him transform lives, watching him bringing that new world order into being, they too were part of it. They too were doing that healing. They too were involved in that teaching. They too were involved in bringing that new world order into being. And their joy, the joy of that resurrection, was unbounded in them. You can just imagine them going round with, you know, a smile on their faces, you know, so broad, they just couldn't take it off. Not a smile of, we told you we were right, we thought this was going to happen. But a smile of the joy of the resurrection and the reality of the risen Christ in their lives. And this Easter, Jesus invites each one of us to be a little less of a spectator and a bit more of a participant. To make less assumptions about who he is and just enjoy the reality and the joy of his resurrection. And as we do, and as we take that joy out, as we take, if you like, that vindication of the Lord, that he is a new, starting that new world order, his kingdom has come and we are part of it. As we take that out to the world, so others see that joy of the victory over death. Good Friday has ended. The joy of the resurrection is here. Happy Easter. Amen. Amen.